Well, let us bow our heads as we come to seek the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we still ourselves in thy presence this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to draw nigh to God. Thou hast promised to draw nigh to us. We come to thee the way that thou hast opened up for us. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we will come to thee, our heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon thee for fresh cleansing in thy blood. And we pray that thou wilt look upon us in Christ and in mercy, and wash us and cleanse us and make us clean and acceptable in thy sight. We've been in the world and we have been corrupted by the things of the world. And we ask thee that thou wilt cleanse us and make us clean in thy sight. We pray that thou wilt remember each one of us as we would bow before thee, that thou wilt come afresh to our hearts, that thou wilt pour out the spirit of prayer upon us, that thou wilt enable us to seek thy face, and to know that God has inclined his ear to hear the cry of the righteous. We come to thee. We pray that thou wilt look upon us in mercy. We thank thee for thy love toward us. We thank thee for thy saving and keeping power. We thank thee for a gospel preaching church, for this witness that thou hast established here in this part of the world, that thou in providence brought us across the path of this witness here. We thank thee. We pray that thou wilt keep us, Lord, faithful in thy word and in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that in the midst of all the sin and all the proneness to wander and all the error and all the pull of the world and all the distractions and temptations and ungodliness and pressure that has been put upon us by the world, that thou wilt keep us, Lord, forever faithful unto thee, unto the one who loved us and gave himself for us, and his truth, his everlasting truth. We pray that thou wilt keep us faithful. Bless us, Lord, as a fellowship, as a church, as a people, as families. We pray that thou wilt remember us tonight as we would gather to seek thy face, that thou wilt enable us, Lord, to truly seek thee and truly find thee when we search for thee with all of our heart. We thank thee, Lord, for health and strength to come to thy house. We pray for each one of us. Thou knowest all our concerns and all of our needs. And we pray that even as we have been singing, that thou wilt bind us together and that we will know thy love in our own hearts and the stirring of our own hearts and love one for the other, and to reach out to others in their need also with the love of Christ. We pray that thou wilt bless us and remember us as we meditate upon thy word, that thou wilt come afresh into our midst, and that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts. Give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. Give us, Lord, a hunger and thirst after thee, the bread of life. Give us, Lord, a desire to know more of thee and to follow thee and to obey thee and to go with thee step by step. We pray for faith and for courage and for the ability to rise above the world and all its notions, to embrace God's word and God's way, and to rejoice in God's way. Give us, Lord, such liberty, and give us the joy, Lord, of wholly following thee. We pray for thy blessing upon this witness and those who would lead the work here, that thou will give them wisdom, and that thou will guide them, and that thou will guide this work. And thou wilt remember the minister as he would take a break, that thou wilt refresh him in body and mind and soul, and prepare him for the next season of work. Prepare us all. We pray for thy help. We pray for thy speaking voice. We pray for thy presence with us. Leave us not to ourselves. We cry to thee. May this be the cry of our hearts, even tonight, that the Lord will be with us, and that we will not be left just to go through the mere forms of religion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to Romans for scripture reading. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 9. We welcome you here in the Savior's name. And it is our prayer that the Lord will minister to us even now as we take time to read and to meditate upon his word. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we want to turn to our text. If you turn to the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 21, continuing with the same theme. I'm sure you noticed in our reading the instruction to be kind one to the other. Proverbs 14 and 21. Here we continue with the same theme. Proverbs 14 and 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Amen. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Solomon is probably the wisest man that ever lived. He is the writer of this book, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs contains hundreds of short sayings concerning many issues which arise in our lives, many very practical words, wise words of instruction presented in just a couple of lines at a time. Book of Proverbs stands out as a masterpiece among other pieces of literature, not only because Solomon was very wise, but of course also because he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's just the writer. God's the author. These are God's sayings written by Solomon in his own peculiar style of writing. And therefore we would do well to learn these words and to practice them in our lives. One time a young man asked his minister how he would receive wisdom, and the minister gave him a very simple answer, and it was to very simply read the book of Proverbs 10 times and then you'll have wisdom. And I suppose we ought to try that, and we would find that a blessing to our hearts. It's interesting to find that the same book is divided into 31 chapters, the same number of days there are in a month. And so we could, as has been suggested, take one chapter in Proverbs each day of the month and go through the book of Proverbs in a month. And by the end of the year, then we'll have read the book of Proverbs 10 times and even more. And we will be all the wiser. And as we read the book of Proverbs, we will notice that the Proverbs often appear in this particular format found in chapter 14 and verse 21. You will find contrasting statements using the little word but is always introduced to draw a line between the contrasting statements to show the difference between the two situations. In this case, we're confronted by two different men, completely different, and they're handling their situation in two different ways. He that despiseth his neighbor, there's the one man. But he that hath mercy on the poor, there's an altogether different man. One man despises his neighbor, the other man has mercy upon his neighbor. So here we have a contrast, and many of the Proverbs are presented in this fashion. And here in this verse of Scripture, in a short space of time, we have very wise counsel concerning the subject of how we should treat one another. First of all, consider a bitter path. You look at the subject here in this verse of Scripture. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The subject here has to do with our neighbor. You remember one time the lawyer, a certain lawyer in Luke chapter 10 and verse 29 asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "And who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? We're speaking here tonight about our neighbor. He that despiseth his neighbor. And the lawyer asked the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greater than Solomon, who is, of course, infinitely wiser than Solomon, to answer this question, who is my neighbor? And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ proceeds with the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he describes the Good Samaritan as a man as he journeyed. And as he journeyed, of course, he comes across this other man lying in the side of the road, and he's in desperate need. And the Lord Jesus Christ puts it to the lawyer. Now, of these three, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. The Good Samaritan, he was a neighbor. He was this man's neighbor. He had just been journeying along, and he come across this man lying on the side of the road, and he showed mercy to him. This was his neighbor, very simply because he had come across him as he journeyed along on that particular day. And all of us have neighbors. Not just next door. But every person that we happen to come across in our journey through our lives every day, everyone that we come across is our neighbor. Everyone that God in his providence puts before us, no matter where we are, not just those next door, but any person that we come across in our journey through each day is our neighbor. The neighbor which appears here in Proverbs 14 and 21 in this verse is someone who is close to us. This could be a brother. This could be the person next door. This could be a friend. This is anyone that we come across in our lives. And in the providence of God, we have those who live under the same roof. They're close to us. They're the closest to us. There are those who live next door. There are those who live in the street. There are those who are in our lives every day. And we cross their path every day, just as the Good Samaritan did when he was going along that road. We come across people every day. Some of those people are under our roofs. Some of those people are in our lives every day. Some of those people we meet from time to time, but they're all our neighbors. And what is this proverb to say to us concerning our neighbors and those that we come across every day in our lives? The challenge here has to do with despising this same person, any of those people that we come across every day. It has to do with despising them for whatever reason. When they come across our path, perhaps it is because of how they look. Perhaps it is because of where they live or who they are or who they're with or what they've said to us on a number of occasions or what they have done to us on a number of occasions. We despise them. And this is happening all of the time, all around us. In every part of the world. Many of us come across others in our journey through life, and perhaps because of something they've said or something they've done, we despise them. It means that unlike the next man who hath mercy on his poor neighbor, there's no mercy. There's no thought for that other person. And that's an awful thing. To despise someone in such a fashion as to have no mercy upon them. To have no time for them, no thought for them, no care for them. Just someone you come across in your journey through life for whatever reason. To despise them, to have no time for them, to look down upon them, to have no thought for them. And this is something, of course, which arises in the first place within the heart. Solomon here is speaking about something which has arisen in the heart. To despise someone is to despise them in your heart. For whatever reason, even if we have never said anything to them or done anything against them, we can still despise them in our heart. And that's an awful thing. And God, of course, knows our hearts. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know the heart. And he knows those who we have no time for, and those we have no thought for, and those we despise within our heart. And God forbid that there should be any here who have that in their heart. Perhaps even as we speak this evening, there is that person who has already arisen within your own thoughts. And you struggle with that neighbor. You struggle with that person that has come across your path. Perhaps it's every day. Perhaps it's from time to time. But you know in your own heart that you struggle with this situation and with that person. And this is how you feel. And as we can see in this verse of Scripture, it is a sin. You're sinning. Sinning against God. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. If you have no mercy, no thought, or no time for that person, then you're sinning against God. Even though you've never said anything to that person, you've never done anything against that person, then you're still sinning against God. We're living in a day when many congratulate themselves, and you hear this all the time. It's a religion that they don't do anybody any harm. They don't do anybody any harm. I don't do anybody any harm. That person doesn't do anybody any harm. And yet at the same time, there are so many who are secretly and deeply within their hearts. They have very little time and thought for very many or for anyone else than themselves. Oh, they may not have done anybody any harm, but they have despised and do despise many of their neighbors and those that are around about them and that they come across in their life's journey from time to time, and they despise them. They have no time for them, no thought for them. Oh, let us not be mistaken when it comes to the spiritual nature of our sins. though it is unseen, every unkind thought is every bit as much as sin in the eyes of God as every word and every act of unkindness. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. There's no mercy, no time, no thought for that other person that you come across in your life. And this does arise among believers. And we all struggle with this in our lives. You take a look at the letters Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he speaks about contentions among you. I've heard about contentions among you. And these believers were having problems with one another. And he goes on to speak of envying and strife and divisions among you. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. And if you turn over to James, you'll notice how James handles this matter. Remember, he's speaking to his brethren. If you look at the beginning of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, they all begin with these words, "My brethren, my brethren, my brethren." And chapter 4, you'll notice he draws their attention to the wars and fightings among you. He's speaking to his brethren, "My brethren, my brethren, my brethren. From whence come wars and fightings among you?" And he asks the question here, where do they come from? Why do you have these thoughts? Why do you go on to say things against one another and do things against one another? Why are you so unkind to one another? You'll notice in verse 5 what he says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" This is not a quote from scripture, but this is the teaching of scripture. This is what James means when he says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain?" When you start to read the scriptures and you start to read the lives of God's people, what do you begin to see? That the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. The spirit within all of us, even the best of us, lusteth to envy. That is the teaching of Scripture. That is the balance of Scripture. You read Scripture, James says, and you can come to see this for yourself as you look at the lives even of the best of God's people in the Scriptures. The spirit within them at times which dominates their thoughts and their actions, lusting to envy. And to lust here is a very strong word. It means to intensely crave for the ruin of someone else. That's what it really means here. And it's very intense. Such is the nature of the old man. Such is the nature of our own sinful nature. Craves for the ruin of others. Oh, how we see it manifested so clearly in different parts throughout the world. This awful spirit that craves for the ruin of others. Of course, you can see it very clearly among suicide bombers. there's that awful sinful nature just bursting out for all to see, craving intensely for the ruin of others. And we all have to struggle with this old nature within. This desire to be nasty, to be bitter, to be hurtful, to despise your neighbor and someone who just happens to come across your path. These are believers that he's speaking to. And as believers, we struggle with the old man and this old spiteful nature. We need to be always on guard as we struggle with the old man and never allow this spirit to dominate our lives. When we're among our neighbors and among those around us and those that cross our path every day. And as it says in verse 6, thank God, look for more grace. He giveth more grace. Thank God tonight for the grace of God which has delivered us from our sins and the power of sin in our lives to overcome this spirit which prevails so much in this world today. Thank God for his grace which has given us the victory. Because if we do not seek for God's grace in this matter, you'll notice that you'll not only be constantly sinning, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but you'll also, as you'll notice from this verse, you'll be constantly unhappy. Look at the man who is in an entirely different spirit. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He's in a completely different spirit from the first man. The man that hath mercy on his poor neighbor, happy is he. And so that means the first man who despises his neighbor, unhappy is he. He's an unhappy man. That man who entertains and harbors a bitter and spiteful spirit toward any neighbor is an unhappy man. I think of the guards in Hitler's camps who allowed this awful, sinful, spiteful spirit to dominate their thinking every minute of every day of every week in those camps. Only time they were happy was when they were hateful to others. That's all they longed for in those places, to be hateful, to despise the Jews or whoever it was in the camps. But they were miserable. They were miserable the rest of the time. They were miserable. And so we ought to be on guard. Sometimes we can struggle with this spirit and despise others. Perhaps when we look at the other side, when we look at the Roman Catholics, for example, perhaps when we're fired up at some parade or some protest and we see the other side and we despise them. That's wrong. That's a sin. Or even at the gay pride protest, and we see them passing by, and we despise them. And we see others perhaps going into these other churches, apostate churches, even other believers, and we despise them. That's wrong. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. I remember a believer one time actually calling another believer an apostate. That's how much they despised him. They were, of course, wrong. A believer cannot be an apostate. But they despised them. Oh, we can be angry with others. And we can hate the teaching of Rome. We can hate the practice of sodomites. We can hate the system of apostasy. But let us never despise our neighbor in our hearts. Let us never take that bitter path, because we will not only be sinning, but we will also be unhappy. And so we need to sort that matter out. There is a better path. Oh, there's the bitter path, but notice also here a better path. We've seen how James draws from Scripture to underline this struggle that we have within. But he doesn't leave us in defeat. We're not going to be overcome by this awful spirit of bitterness, because he also underlines in verse 6 that God giveth more grace. And that is wonderful. God gives us more grace. There in James chapter 4, the Spirit that dwelleth in us, even believers, lusteth to envy. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so on and so forth. He giveth more grace. When we're in that situation and we're tempted and we struggle with this bitterness in our heart toward our neighbor, the grace of God can be humbly sought and found by every man. He giveth more grace. We can find more of this grace in the life of the man here in Proverbs 14 and 21. Far happier man. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. This man here has more grace. This is what James is speaking about. This man here has more grace. He hath mercy on his poor neighbor. And so when we're tempted to despise those around us, we are exhorted by James to humbly pray for the spirit of this man who has mercy on his poor neighbor, and for more grace, grace within our own souls, and grace to think better of others. And those around you that you're tempted to despise, did the Lord Jesus Christ not say in Matthew chapter 5, there in his Sermon on the Mount, to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. God wants us to pray for those around us that have done harm to us, those that we look upon as our enemies. Many of us have much time for those who have much time for us. But notice how the Lord challenged his disciples here in this same passage, Matthew 5 and verse 46, concerning this particular party spirit. just thinking about yourselves and your own circle of friends and neighbors and whoever they may be that have gathered around you. In verse 46, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is challenging his disciples about this party spirit, just loving those that love you and just saluting those that salute you. And you notice at the end of the chapter, the children of God ought to be more advanced, more mature, more perfect, more enabled to think better of others outside their own circle. And of course, we might argue that people don't realize what has been done to us. And of course, we understand the struggle, and the Lord Jesus Christ understands it even better. You take a look at Calvary. Take a look at Christ at Calvary. Listen to his prayer for those who had nailed him there. Father, forgive them. He had every reason to despise them. After all that they had done against him, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to think better. He was happy to show mercy toward them. When we take a look at Calvary, then we can see how we ought to think upon others, even those who have done us harm. Pray for them. Not only pray for others, but also reach out to them as this man does here. He has mercy on his poor neighbor. If you turn over to chapter 25 and verse 21, you'll notice the verse of scripture that Paul uses in our reading in Romans chapter 12. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That's the same portion of scripture that Paul uses in Romans. Heap coals of fire upon their head. Kindnesses. For example, giving them bread when they're hungry, giving them water when they're thirsty, heaping kindnesses upon them. God wants us to heap a mixture of many kind words and deeds upon the heads, even of those who we have no time or thought for, naturally, so as to make them think and to soften their hardened hearts and to bring them to an end of themselves and to that place where they can be forgiven. This is how God has dealt with every one of us. Every sinner that he wishes to draw to himself, the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. He heaped many things upon us, many good things to lead us to repentance, to break us. And he did that with all of us. Charles Bridges, who wrote his commentary in the book of Proverbs, said, "No man ever conquered his enemy's heart by revenge, many by love." That's how we conquer the heart of those we come across in our lives every day, who may be hardened against us, and those we are tempted to be hardened against. This is how Joseph dealt with his brethren who had so wronged him. He heaped upon them many words and deeds of kindness. Even though he seemed to be firm, yet he was being kind to them. And he brought them to that place where he could forgive them. Just as God deals with all of us, and that is how we should deal with others. There was no reason for Joseph to be bitter now. He was in a much better path. God blessed him. He could have cut them off, but instead he heaped upon them his kindness. The Lord rewarded Joseph. He saw his family restored. He saw his family blessed. And God blessed him. That is what Paul means when he says at the end of our reading, to overcome evil with good. We must pray to that end. Whatever situation we are in, whoever crosses our path, and whatever they've done against us, and whenever we have to struggle within ourselves, we ought to pray for the spirit of the Savior and humbly pray that God will bring us to that place where we will be able to heap kindnesses upon them and so bring them to that place where they can be forgiven. And the Lord will bless you. This brings us to our closing thought, to a blessed path. When we're enabled by God's grace to overcome the spirit of bitterness, God will reward us. That's what Solomon says, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. One of the ways God rewards us, whatever else God heaps upon us, he will make us more happy. Isn't that a wonderful reward? Wonderful blessing. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Dear child of God, are you struggling with bitterness? Does it arise among God's people? Did in Paul's day, in James's day. He had to instruct them on these things. Someone who's wronged you, struggling, you're angry with them every time you cross their path. And so we would call upon you in the words of Solomon, don't despise them. Don't sin your soul by despising them. Don't take the matter into your own hands. Doesn't matter what the world might say. Doesn't matter what the world tells you to do. There's a better path. It's not the bitter path. It's the better path. There is a blessing that you can enjoy. And even though you might have to struggle, as we all do, with the old man that lusteth to envy and craves intensely for the ruin of others, we have to struggle with him. There's more grace. Thank God he can give you grace, which is found alone in Christ. And he can bring them to that place where you're able to forgive them. If you heap coals of fire upon their head, he's promised to bring them to that place. I think of Corrie ten Boom, just as we close. Dear Dutch believer that suffered in Hitler's camps. After she had set free, she went across the world telling her story. How love overcame hate. She learned to love those who had so wronged her and to forgive them. when she was confronted with her neighbor. In one of those meetings, neighbor that had betrayed her family. She had that struggle within her own soul to actually stretch out her hand and accept his apology and forgive him. She struggled with that. But God gave her more grace, and she was enabled to overcome that bitterness in her heart and to heap more kindness upon him. She continued in that path of blessing. She was all the happier for it. She went further around the world spreading this story of how we can overcome evil with good. Powerful message, believer, which centers on the Christ of Calvary, who is so very glad to have mercy upon us, just like this man. He is so very glad to have mercy upon us, even though we have wronged him so much and still wrong him so much. He's still very glad to bring us to that place where he can forgive us again and again. Oh, that we might have this spirit in our walk through life and as we meet up with those who cross our path, that we will have the spirit of Christ. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he.